Good morning. Would you stand with us this morning? I don't know what your week was like, but mine was busy. Can anybody say that their week was busy too? End of year. I love this time of year for many reasons. But it's just been a busy time. But you know what? We are here this morning for one purpose. Did you come with a purpose this morning? And that purpose is to worship Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, that no matter what the week has brought us and the busyness and tired and all of planning and doing graduations and parties and all of that stuff that comes with this time of year, Lord. But Jesus, this morning, God, it's all about you. And we are able to walk in this place this morning, God, this beautiful place that we call your house, Jesus. Father, we thank you that we were able to come this morning and that we are free to worship you, God. Because no matter what, Jesus, you still sit on the throne. And you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you, Jesus. Father, we just lift our hands this morning to you and we say hallelujah, God.
Thank
we thank you for this wonderful day that you have given us, God. Father, bless this time that we have. Let your anointing fall on your people this morning, Jesus. Let us be able to lay our burdens down at your feet, God. Let us just look to you this morning, Jesus, that we can just praise and worship you, God. Amen.
Begin to sing. I want you to just be mindful. It was about 2,000 years ago today. Today is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day that God chose to basically move his church forward on planet Earth. Amen?
Amen.
This is when it says they are all together, and when they believe it was the upper room, and they were praying, and they were simply waiting upon the Lord. Have you come today to wait upon the Lord? Have you come today expecting something? Because God is ready to deliver it. Amen? So I just want to say, I don't want any artificial excitement. I want spiritual excitement, anticipating what God wants to do today. Amen? Just as he did 2,000 years ago, like a mighty rushing wind came across the people. Amen? So just come into this presence and the Spirit of God as we sing.
Jesus, come.
away. You're coming soon. So we wait for you. God, we wait, you're coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. So we wait for you. Oh.
mighty breath of God, won't you move in power and grace? Streams of mercy flowing down. Light of heaven all around, and it's falling to the ground.
you. Thank you. us that we can declare over ourselves when we feel isolated, when we feel alone, we can declare the word of God. Amen, church. That's what we're supposed to do. Even the very words coming out of our mouth is full of the Spirit because it is the Word of God. The book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you speak the Word, you're speaking Jesus. You're speaking His heart. And no matter where you find yourself, if it's anywhere but in the presence and in the love and in the wholeness of God, if you find yourself in another place, declare Jesus over your life. Declare this word over your life. Amen. You know, we have a choice. You know, when Jesus was in the upper room and He was passing the cup and the bread and was saying that the bread was His body that would soon be broken, and the cup of wine was the blood that He was about to shed on the cross for them. He was instituting the new covenant. He was instituting the place where we had a choice. They had a choice to partake of the cup. We have a choice to come into covenant with God. That was part of the plan. That was the plan. That's why Jesus came to the earth, to set forth the new covenant that we could come back into the place and be restored with our Heavenly Father. That's where we're supposed to be. That's where we belong. That we would be a bride presented without spot or without wrinkle. Sometimes I just feel like that we live in the past. We live in a place of where we feel like we're just not quite good enough. We're not quite there. And because we keep failing or we keep doing things, we think that it disqualifies us. Well, I'm here to tell you that it don't. When you repent of your sin, there is nothing that can disqualify you from that covenant. Come on. That's something to be excited about. That's something that can never be taken away from you. And when you declare it with your mouth, come on. When you declare it with your mouth, can I tell you, it's not how you feel. It has nothing to do with how you feel and how raunchy you think you've done or you feel about something. The truth surpasses emotion. That's why we don't have to spend our life proving that we're boys or girls. Because our identity comes from Him. I don't have to prove to anybody who I am. I'm in covenant with God. I'm His daughter, and I'll always be His daughter. It doesn't matter what anybody says about me. It doesn't matter even what I do. When I repent and I come back into covenant in that place of right standing with God, there is nothing that can rob me of that. Come on. The enemy will spend your whole entire life trying to convince you that you're separated from God, that you're not good enough, or you've done something that maybe someday you'll arrive. Can I tell you, you've arrived. When you accept Christ into your heart, you've arrived. But you have a choice. See, we're to represent Jesus until the day that He comes back for His bride. This is going to be a glorious moment. This is going to be a glorious time when He comes back for us. And rest assured, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to take us out. He's coming back. We don't fall under God's wrath. Amen. We are rescued from His wrath. We are His beloved bride. And in the meantime, we wait for Him, living holy lives by the power of His Spirit. Can I tell you, whatever you've done, just put it before the Lord. If you need deliverance, if you're compelled to do things that you just can't stop doing, maybe you need deliverance. There's an altar up here. Every Sunday, there are people in this church that will pray for you and pray for your deliverance. I've said before, Christians can have whatever they want to have. If you agree with the spirit of murder, of hate, of unrepentance, bitterness, you can have it. If that's what you agree with, you assign it to yourself. Because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. The spirit of power is dunamis power. It's the miraculous power of God. He has given us the ability to deliver ourselves. But sometimes we need help, right? When I say deliver ourselves, it's by His power, not ours. It's by agreeing with the covenant that we're in and all of the benefits that come from that covenant. Amen. So God, I pray that You just enlarge our hearts and our minds this morning, God, to declare and decree the truth until You come back for Your beloved bride. Lord, put a fire in our hearts, God, that it would be like fire shut up in our bones, that we can't keep our mouths shut, that we need to share the gospel. Can I tell you, you need to share the good news. You know, would you not reach out and take the hand of a little one that was going to run out in front of a car and get run over? Would you not do something? I know everyone in this house would. Can I tell you, would you carry in your heart the Spirit of God? You need to say it. Let it not be said of us that we did nothing, that we said nothing to anybody, and we kept it hidden in our hearts, because we're responsible for that. We're responsible to carry the message, the good news, by the Spirit of God. We're responsible to share that message. God, we just love You this morning. God, we lay down every burden at Your feet. God, we lay down everything that we've ever done that we think in our minds holds us back from receiving all that You have for us. I just really feel like He's saying this morning, don't carry that anymore. Don't carry it anymore. Whatever it is, somebody needs to hear that. Don't carry it anymore. Agree with what the Word of God says. It even says, vengeance is Mine, saith the Lord. Not yours. Vengeance is Mine, saith the Lord. Offense is from hell. Can I just tell you? Offense is from hell. And when you take the bait, you agree with all kinds of stuff. Lord, fill us with Your Holy Spirit this morning. Fill us with the love and fire of God, like a bride awaiting her groom. Holy, ready, set apart, consecrated. Thank You, Jesus. I just pray again, God, for healing in the room. You just signify by raising your hand that you're believing for a healing in your body. I don't care what it is. God, we just thank You, Lord, that that's part of the benefits. That's part of the covenant of God. That we would be made whole. That we would be restored anew. God, I ask that You would release, God, Your Spirit of healing in here this morning, God, and touching every body, healing every pain, God. In Jesus' name, thank You, Jesus. Healing hearts, healing minds, healing things from the past. God, we receive that Spirit of power and love and a sound mind. That actually means to stand with the right mindset in a situation. God, thank You that we have the mind of Christ, that we have the ability to stand in any situation with the right mindset, a victorious mindset. Amen, church. God, we thank You for Your Spirit. We ask, God, that You would anoint the Word this morning. God, bring Your holy fire into our hearts, God, burning away everything, God, that separates us from You. God, we come into Your presence, God. We want to be found waiting in the middle of the night when You return. We want to be found expecting. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Encourage someone this morning. Tell them they're amazing. Tell them you love them. Tell them God loves them. Tell them something. Just encourage them. You guys are amazing. Acts chapter 2. It's a great day to be alive. Amen. Amen. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine."
I asked earlier, I'll ask again, did you come expecting something? Amen. I guarantee you the apostles and it wasn't just the apostles in that where they believed was in the upper room, but it was many disciples there. And they were expecting something. It was a promise from the Father. A promise. God is not a man that he should lie. Amen. And this promise is for you and your children and your children's children, and for those who are far off in 2022 America in Jersey Shore on June 5th, Sunday, 2022. The promise is for you, for all of us. It's a perpetual promise from the Father. This is Pentecost Sunday. We continue in our series, Burning 24/7. For those of you that really like things to be falling in order, I apologize, because Laodicea, we'll have to finish that part of the lesson next week. Because I was not about to go around Pentecost Sunday. But we are still in the series, Burning 24/7, with our key verse, Leviticus 8, verse 13. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. That was the instruction in the Old Testament to Moses, to the people of Israel. That is the instruction for the church today, that we're always to be burning with the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. You say, "Well, Pastor Don, I can't be on fire all the time." My question to you is this: what gets you stoked up? "Well, this is what gets me stoked up in worship." Well, let me tell you, if you get stoked up, there's a fire there somewhere. And frankly, when I read the Gospels, I realize that I think we can safely say, sometimes, as we said last week, Paul's mending tents, but other times he's laying hands on the people and they're being healed miraculously. And so the fire of God, those embers always need to be there in the believer 24/7. And if our wood seems to be a little bit wet, today's a good day to get it heated up. Amen. Pentecost, it's a funny name. It's not something we're really familiar with. The word actually means 50. That's why it says the day of Pentecost, the day of 50. It's 50 days after the Passover. So the word means 50. It would fall on most Jews would believe back then, it would fall on this Sunday, on their calendar. It falls on a Sunday. It's to commemorate or celebrate what in the Old Testament was called the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks was exactly 7 weeks after the Passover, and then the next day was the Pentecost, the 50th day. It's the Feast of the First Fruits in that culture, that their first harvest of the year was going to be celebrated at this time of the year. And so it was the first fruits that they got from the crop. They were to just thank God for what they had been, what they have received and what God had been given them. But I think what's interesting is this, before we get into the text too far, it was commemorated by a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice of loaves and animals. A burnt offering was to commemorate and to celebrate and to thank God for what they had been given. They gave a sacrifice, and as you know, in the New Testament, we no longer are under that law of burnt offerings of loaves and of animals. And the writer of Hebrews says that the blood of bulls and rams cannot take away sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. So today, the sacrifice, the burning sacrifice, is you and me. And our hearts are to be burning for God, to say, God, I thank you. God, I receive all that you have for me. God, I'll never understand the love that you demonstrated by giving your only son on the cross. But God, I thank you, for he was the only sinless one that could ever take away the sins of the world. We need to be burning. It's interesting because as Pastor Sherry was reading through those nations, many nations that were present in Jerusalem that day, that if you study the history of that time, that many of these travelers, as you see, were from far parts of the earth. And when you look at the seasons there, you study the book of Acts, you'll see there's certain seasons they didn't sail anymore. September, October, they were afraid to go out on the seas. In March, April, when the Passover was, they wouldn't go out on the seas and travel to Jerusalem and the fall festival. But this is one of the festivals that almost every Jew from across the planet would be there. There was no excuse because the weather was good. It would be similar to what it is in Pennsylvania. During my studies, I happened to go to Tel Aviv and I tried to find out what the water temperature was of the Mediterranean Sea there on their beach, 75 degrees. How nice is it there right now? That's warm, as far as I'm concerned. But it was a beautiful time of the year, and so there were many, many people. This was, of course, by God's design, because part of the purpose of this was not just for the disciples, but it was to spread the gospel to the entire planet. It was like a virus in a good way. So in the text there, you see there, chapter 2, verse 1, don't miss this, on the day of Pentecost, when they had come together, they were all together in one place. Don't miss that. In fact, if you have your Bibles, just go back. It tells what's going on in that location. Again, whether it's the upper room, some would say no, they must have been in the temple on this day. It's irrelevant. But here, verse 14 of chapter 1 says this. These all with one mind were continually devoted themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, mother of Jesus, and his brothers. They were unified in prayer. They are unified in purpose. I say that to say this. That is the type of environment from reading the scriptures that the presence of God will inhabit. And you study history, you study even your own experience. I've never seen the presence of God rest where there's strife, where there's conflict, where there's hatred, where there's jealousy, where there's animosity. In his book, Hosting the Presence, Bill Johnson says this, learning to host the presence of God is the biggest challenge of the Christian life. We as a church and we as individuals need to be a place where the Spirit of God can rest. Pastor Sherry addressed it beautifully during the prayer time. God isn't looking for perfect people. We're made perfect by his blood. What he is looking for, though, is a people that when they get off track and they've done things that are against his law and against his will, that they're ready to repent and say, God, I messed it up. Forgive me. And the forgiveness is granted. We've really changed things in our day. We are now, and as a society, doing things that are diametrically opposed to the word of God. And we simply say, well, it's okay. The Bible doesn't teach that, as you well know. But they were unified, they were praying, and they were anticipating something on this day, this great day of Pentecost that is considered the birthday of the church. Verse 2. And suddenly there came from heaven. There came from heaven. I've seen services and different places where there's this, I'll say, an artificial ambience to try to manufacture the presence of God. You cannot manufacture the presence of God. You can get people excited, and I'm not against that, but the presence of God is unique, and it's going to come where it's fostered, where I should say He is fostered, welcomed, and cherished. That's where the presence of God will rest. I trust that during the worship time, boy, when, I mean, I don't know how to put one song above another, but to me, man, the presence of God was so powerful while we were singing, while you were singing Aftermath. I know you're here with me. Your love will light the way. Wow. And it's like it's burning in our hearts. And if you experience that, I want to give you some good news that the presence of God, the fire of God is in you. And like all of us, at times it needs to be stoked up. That's why the Apostle Paul told his young protege Timothy, fan the flames of the believers. It's not artificial excitement. It's blowing on the coals in their hearts through the Spirit of God and encouraging them to grow and to take a stand. My apologies. But it came from heaven. It's not manufactured. It didn't come from anywhere else. It wasn't some crazy... in Waterville, we have a pretty neat thing going on there. And I don't know if it happens where you live, but we live there in a valley. And as soon as the sun will begin to set, it's not uncommon for a mighty rushing wind to come sweeping down through the valley, through the house, often blowing the doors shut. That's a natural phenomenon. It's pretty neat. But this is not what we're talking about here. It came from heaven. It was not a man-made event. You study the book of Acts chapter 19. There's a group of Jewish exorcists, the sons of Sceva. He was a high priest. They saw Paul going around proclaiming and healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And these were not believers. And they thought that's pretty cool. And they thought they would manufacture their own deliverance. So they began to try to use the name of Jesus Christ, of which they were not worthy because they did not receive. They were not a carrier of the presence of God. And they went into this man who was demon-possessed. And these seven sons, it says, they tried to cast him out in the name of Jesus. And the man, the demon, began to speak to the man. And the demon began to say to these seven people, I know who Jesus is, and I know who Paul is. I don't know who you are. And it says the man pounced on him, demon-possessed. And it says he tore their clothes off, and they ran out of the house, wounded and naked. I'm not interested in a relationship. I'm not interested in religion. I'm not interested in a church service that isn't from heaven. I'm not. But look what happens there. Verse 2. Suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. In fact, if you're making notes or an outline, I have a couple for you. I want you to put in your notes the breath of God. This is the breath of God blowing and stoking the coals of the church on these disciples who had been with Jesus 3.5 years, 10 days earlier. They had just seen him ascend from the Mount of Olives into heaven. And now they're sitting there waiting, anticipating the promise of the Father. I wonder if they had a clue that this would be the day. Regardless of that, they were waiting, they were anticipating, and the breath of God came. I say that because when you study the scriptures, you go back to Genesis chapter 2, at the beginning of time when God created the heavens and the earth, and he created man out of the dust of the earth, and it says God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. And then he created Eve out of a rib of the man he had created, and the two became one flesh, Adam and Eve. And they walked with God. There was a relationship with God. There was no conflict with God. They were together with God until one day the enemy came to the garden. It came to Eve first. Satan says, did not God say you could eat from all these trees? And she said, no. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, we're not allowed to, because the day we do, we will surely die. Satan says, oh, you're not going to die. Boy, does that happen today? Oh, you're not a boy. You're not a girl. You're something else. God says you're a boy. No, you're a girl. Or vice versa. Or, you know, you're into this relationship. We know God has defined marriage. I'm going to redefine it, is what people say. God doesn't honor or redefine marriage. God honors his definition of marriage. And so on. So God breathed into man. He became a living being, a living soul. But on that day that Adam and Eve were disobedient, that even though they lived in the natural, they were dead in the spiritual. The spiritual breath was now gone from them. And whether they realized it or not, they were dead spiritually. The breath was gone. You study the Old Testament, this Spirit of God, you do not see groups of people being filled with the Spirit of God as we've seen here today that took place in the second chapter of Acts. God did not work that way. There was times when the Spirit of God came mightily upon some of the judges, Samson being one of them. The Spirit of God came upon him mightily, and he was a defender for Israel. It came upon kings. It came upon priests. The Spirit of God came upon them. But you do not see what you see here in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God wasn't working that way. But you know, in Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel gets that vision of the dry bones. And some would say, and I would agree, that that is a future vision at that time, a future vision of the nation of Israel, that God is going to put flesh and sinews on those bones. And then that prophetic vision, Ezekiel says that he began to prophesy in his vision. And he said, I saw those bones, and all of a sudden on those bones, there became sinews on them. And flesh became to come on those bones. It says, but there was no breath in them. There was no breath. And God says, now begin to prophesy to the four corners, four winds, and prophesy and say to the breath, O breath, hear the word of the Lord. Come and breathe on these slain, that they may stand and come to life. And the prophet says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, these what looked like corpses, and they were corpses because there was no breath in them, all of a sudden we began to prophesy and declare the promise in the word of God. It says that the Spirit of God entered them through the breath, and they began to stand up and stand on their feet, an exceedingly great army. That's the church. That's God's intent for the church, that we are in fulfilled here. First, at the day of Pentecost, that we would be filled with the Spirit to come to life spiritually and burn for him. It took a great wind. I remember in the days in the 70s seeing pictures of Los Angeles. Do you remember smog was the issue of the day? Do you remember that? And you would see pictures of Los Angeles, the city of Los Angeles, and I'm sure pictures are still available on the internet. The pollution was so terrible there that this huge cloud hung over from square miles and miles of pollution. The story goes that they had brought in experts to come and try to deal with this. What's the solution? How are we going to deal with this cloud, this actually noxious cloud that was hanging over the city, blocking out the sunlight? It is said after many, many dollars and many months of study that the leader of that organization came to the city and he says, I have some bad news for you. He said, there is no solution to your pollution. The story goes. He says, what we need is a wind from somewhere else. A wind from elsewhere. That's what it's going to take. What's true in the natural is true in the spiritual. You see, up until this time, that the church was there, was trying to figure things out. Jesus had just left the disciples there, but the church history since the time of the closing of the Old Testament, it was all about religion. It was not a good thing for the things that God had intended for man, and things had become cloudy. You know the lives of the Pharisees, how religious and how persecuting they were to people that would try to live a life that was righteous, and every time they would be smacking them down. That was never God's intention. God had a cloud. There was a cloud hanging over the church, and God was ready to blow that cloud off and bring a new breath in, and that's what he did on the day of Pentecost. He blew the breath of God into the church, and they came alive. Church, I want to tell you, that day is coming here. It's going to come. It's going to come, and I believe it's going to come to the American church and the churches around the world. And sometimes, why does it always take a crisis for us to begin to turn to God? Why is that? I would encourage you, don't wait. Don't wait. I often use the story, and again, if you were here on would have been September 11, September 16th, 2021. Place was packed. The church was packed. It was like standing room only. It was a fairly large church at the time, but we like doubled in size in 2 weeks. People were terrified when they saw how vulnerable we are as a nation and how we could overlook and miss something like that and how tragic it was. And there was a natural enemy out there trying to destroy it. And at times, many people overlooked the fact, don't worry about the enemy you can see. The one you can't see is your greatest danger, the enemy of your soul. Because Satan wants to destroy you and your family. He wants to destroy your neighbors. He wants to destroy this nation that, as imperfect as it is, still stands for religious freedom. We have still have foundational principles that are rooted in the Word of God, even though not all of them. Lord, have mercy. We needed a wind from elsewhere, church. So we saw the breath of God, and next the fire of God. Go to verse 3. The fire of God. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves as they rested on each one of them. In fact, if you study later on in the text, when Peter is speaking to these people, it's in verse 33. He's telling them that God has poured forth that which you both see and hear. Now get that. Well, what they heard was the mighty rushing wind. That's what drew the people to wherever the disciples were that day. It was the sound of the mighty rush. They heard something, but when they got there, and they heard people speaking in tongues, but they saw something. And the belief is that this tongues of fire was actually, these believers were walking around, possibly crowned with this fire, like on their heads. Like this glow, the presence of God. They'd been in the presence, almost like it was when Moses had been in the presence of God. His face was aglow. The fire of God rested on all of them. It says there, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. If you have your Bibles there, I just want to read something, what this means. Because Peter, and I'll get to him in just a few moments. Here's Peter. Here's backward, at times disobedient, impetuous Peter. He's like all of us. He's no different than we are. What became different about Peter that day was he became filled with the Holy Spirit, and it changed the man. Verse 17 and 18, he says, Peter begins to quote the book of Joel from the Old Testament. And he says this to the people, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. And even upon my bondservants and both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my Spirit, and they will begin to prophesy." And that's what was taking place here. They began to speak in other tongues, and I think it's fascinating. They began to speak a message that everybody could understand, regardless of their nationality. It was the fire of God was burning in them, and this cowardly Peter, he now gets up and he makes a sermon. This is the man who just weeks before was so afraid of the Jewish rulers who were still there in Jerusalem, and he was afraid to even acknowledge Jesus Christ. But now there he is making a public statement. Why? Because he was filled with the Spirit. He was filled with the spirit of boldness and a spirit of passion. And the Holy Spirit began to give him utterance. And these people are, and all these manifestations are taking place. Church, I will just say, it was God that drew them in that day. It was God that did it. And I'm not against any proper avenue to connect with our communities. I'm all for that. But I want to tell you what, it's going to take an act and a move of God, I believe, as it was in the day of Pentecost, to turn this nation around and to get the church back on track. So God, that does not give us excuse to be disobedient in the meantime, but we are calling for the flame of fire and a rushing wind to fall upon this church, upon the American church, as you will come and you will set your children on fire. We will begin to prophesy. Your sons and daughters will see visions and dream dreams. They'll begin to prophesy. Peter began to speak with all boldness. All boldness. Finally, we had the breath of God and the fire of God, and now lastly is the Word of God. Don't miss this. The events would have been fascinating of what took place that day, but they would have been irrelevant unless what we read in verse 11 came to pass. Verse 11 in that text, I'm going to skip forward, verse 11. Christians and Arabs, they began to say, we hear them in our own tongues speaking the mighty deeds of God. They weren't there to talk about their denominational differences. They weren't there to talk about eternal security. They weren't there to talk about how you should baptize upside down, inside, outside, sprinkle, dunk, whatever. They weren't there to talk about that. They began to proclaim something, the mighty deeds of God. And I'm sure one of them was the very fact that, as Peter goes on in his sermon, it says, you men who crucified the Son of God, he has risen again, as the prophets have foretold. How about that for a mighty deed? He showed those Sadducees, didn't he? God did raise from the dead. We hear them speaking in our own language the mighty deeds of God. You think about that. There's no other way that a person can be saved unless they hear the gospel, the word of God. So it didn't matter what it was. It did matter. All these things could have taken place, and everybody could have said, wow! And everybody comes, what's going on? And if they would have said, man, this is so cool, I don't know. No, they began to proclaim the mighty deeds of God. Revelation chapter 14, says, verse 6, says this about this book. John, through this vision, sees something. He says, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the eternal gospel to preach to those who dwell in the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who has made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. The God who has authored this book is the God of salvation. And it's an eternal gospel. It'll never disappear. It's always relevant. It's always germane. It's always alive, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. They were declaring the mighty deeds of God. As you leave this house today, whether it was in worship, whether it was in prayer, whether it was in message, whatever you got good, whether you recognize it or not, it was a work of the Spirit working through this word right here. Because we sing the truth. We pray the truth. We preach the truth. You got to, and hopefully, regardless of whatever my delivery style is, it does not matter. The fact is, we are preaching and declaring the mighty deeds of God. And that's what's transformative. Salvation begins with hearing the word of God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. He said, he's taken from the Old Testament. It's from the book of Joel also. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Say that, church. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is it that easy, Pastor? Yes, it is. God never intended salvation to be a complicated thing. It's the most simple process because God loves mankind so much. He gave his only son that whoever would believe in him, it doesn't matter what I think I need to do. My salvation is not connected to that. It's faith in him. And then my life is changed, and by desire, I want to obey him. And even at times, I fall. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher, without someone to bring the word? It's the word of God was breaking forth. The truth of God that had been hidden from the eyes of the Jews all this time. And then they actually crucified their Messiah, the one that they said they were waiting for. And when he showed up, they killed him. And conviction began to pierce their hearts as this formerly cowardly Peter, now with all boldness, begins to declare the mighty deeds of God. And what took place that day is not in any way unrelated to what took place many centuries before. It's the antithesis of the event that's in Genesis chapter 11 that we know as the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, you know, on the plains of Shinar. when Nimrod and his crew began to come out there on the plains of Shinar, and they began to agree together, let's make us a mighty tower that goes up into the heavens, and let's make a name for ourselves, and let's make these bricks. We're going to burn these bricks. We're going to make them hard so it's indestructible, and we can reach up into the heavens. It says the Lord came down, and he was displeased with what they were doing. That tower to the heavens was certainly some type of a demonic portal that they were trying to get into the heavenly realm. And they said, let's make a name for ourselves, which is completely against God's nature. In Genesis chapter 12, when God comes to Abraham, he says to him, I will make your name great. People make their names great in society these days, but let me tell you what, if your name is not made great by the power and the will of what word of God, it's going to be fleeting. It's not going to last. The curse of the Tower of Babel in this event, in the, Pentecost, was reversed. At the Tower of Babel, their language was confused. On the day of Pentecost, their languages now became reunited. Everybody was talking, they knew each other. Even though they were from those areas that were talking different, they could now understand one another. The curse was being reversed. The process had been set in motion. Tower of Babel, they made bricks and they burned them thoroughly to fulfill their own ambitions to reach heaven. On the day of Pentecost, believers were burning for God and heaven came to earth. At Babel, they said, let us make a name for ourselves. The day of Pentecost, they were declaring the mighty deeds of God. God had done this. God had blown, a mighty rushing wind came into Jerusalem. God had put tongues of fire upon the disciples. God had allowed them to speak in other languages so all the visitors could understand and hear the mighty deeds. It was something that God did. It was a work of God. Verse 12 and 13, this fascinates me. This is what divides every, if there's a division, every revival service, every time the gospel is shared, every time we talk about Jesus Christ publicly or one-on-one, it doesn't really matter. It ultimately comes into two groups. Verse 12, and they continued in amazement. The people were amazed in great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? What does it mean? But others were mocking and saying, they're full of sweet wine. The crowd was immediately divided into two groups. It was a people of faith that needed to know more, that they knew there was something beyond their circumstances, beyond their day-to-day lives. And when they saw the miraculous beginning to take place, they've got to figure this out. What is going on here? Others simply pushed it away as some another religious kook and said they're full of sweet wine. I suppose if a visitor would come into this house someday, they could look at me and say, the guy's full of sweet wine. Like he's crazy up there. What's he yelling for? He's got a microphone on, for Pete's sake. We can hear him. I got something to be passionate about. I got something to be on fire about. And so do you. So do you. I'm just trying to, whatever your temperature is in Jesus Christ, I just want it to burn brighter, to burn longer, to burn stronger. Fan your flames, right? You saw a people of faith versus delusional people suffering from mental disorder. That's how they saw this. And that's how Christians are termed today. We can be a people of great faith, but from outsiders, we are oftentimes considered delusional people. We're suffering from a mental disorder. Understand that. And you see here a collision of two worlds taking place, as it is today, because as Marxism begins and continues to make its inroads in the United States, understand that Marxism, communism, is not atheistic. I'm sorry, it's not an agnostic. It's atheistic. There's a big difference. Atheistic simply means we absolutely reject God. There is no place for God in communism. Because see, in communist rule, the government is your God. The government is the answer of all things. And so there's that animosity of Christianity, of religion, of God. There's a collision of two worlds then as there is today. But those people, in verse 12, that wanted to know, what does this mean? Peter begins to give them a sermon. And he tells them what's taking place here. This is what came about, was prophesied by the prophet Joel. What you're seeing is being fulfilled in that in the last days. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters are going to begin to prophesy, young men visions, old men dreams. Everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord is going to be saved. That's what's going on here, folks. The prophet Joel told us. They asked what it means, and he told them. But don't miss this, because it's a two-step process. Verse 37, it's not on our text, but if you have your Bible, go there, please. He finishes this sermon, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what must we do? What does it mean? And when they found out what it means, they said, what do I got to do? And I love this verse, verse 38. Peter said to them, you have your Bibles open. What's the word there? Repent. Repent. Oh, that's a harsh word in the church these days. Frankly, I think it's a lacking word in the church these days. And you know what? I'm no legalist. I'm not. You people that know me would tell you that. I'm no legalist, but I want to tell you what. Repentance is a key of not only of salvation, but of the Christian walk. And we can't just go on singing and whistling Dixie thinking everything's okay when we know our life is being disobedient and we see it in our congregation. We won't. We have to say there's a time that requires repentance as it was for these people. You need to repent. You need to turn your heart away from the way you're going towards God and receive Him. Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then don't miss this here. As soon as I find it. Oh, yeah. Well, here it is. Go to verse 39. Continue on. For this promise is for you and your children and for all of you who are far off, as many as our Lord God shall grant to call for Himself. And here we are in 2022 America, and the promise is for us. This is a promise for us. It's the Word of God, declaring the mighty deeds of God. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off. You can close your Bibles if you have them open. If you were to assess the needs of the American church, you could probably come up with a list a mile long. There's churches that are struggling financially. They can't meet their budget. And they're closing. And at times, I mean, I'm not going to judge them, but I will say if they've been wayward of the way and the will and the Word of God, maybe it is time for them to close. But there's others that are just struggling, and God maybe has other plans for them. Some would say, well, this church needs a better staff, or they need a bigger staff, or they need to get organized, and they need to have better buildings. And the list goes on and on. But I will say this, all those things aside, what the church needs in America in 2022 is a fresh wind from elsewhere. We've got plenty of religion. We've got plenty of doctrines. We've got plenty of good teaching. I'm not against that. But we need a fresh wind from elsewhere, church. And frankly, at times it begins with the church collectively repenting and saying, God, we have made light of your word. God, we have not honored your will. God, we've been disobedient. God, regardless of how we would want church to be, it's our error to then change things and change the doctrines of our churches to match and suit our needs rather than to match and suit your word and your character. Forgive us, God. Church needs a fresh wind, fresh breath. The believers need a fresh breath. Amen? In this room, I'll tell you what. And again, I'm all for being obedient. We will be obedient till we see Jesus face to face. But my prayer, my cry is that God, you will send a fresh breath upon the church. That all of a sudden, the disciples were obedient. They were faithful. They were good. They were doing what Jesus had told them to do. But there was nothing going to take place. And so something came from heaven and began to move. That's what changed it. And in fact, if you study the New Testament, actually this happened a number of times, these miraculous manifestations. I'm all for miracles if they're from God. I don't live for them, but I'll tell you what, I pray for them. It has no effect on my obedience, but I'll tell you what, I would love to see the people streaming into the doors of the church saying, what is going on there? You study the Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles in 1905, 1906. It is said that actually there was so much revival going on. The mighty deeds of God were being declared from the pulpit. The people were being healed. They were singing. They were worshiping. They were praying and praising God throughout the night. They said that all of a sudden the people began to call the fire company. They saw flames coming out of the building. The building wasn't on fire. It was the power and presence of God. And all of a sudden, all these people started coming in. They began to come in saying, what's going on? What does this mean? Others were outside mocking them in the newspaper. They must be full of sweet wine, quote unquote. Like they're crazy. Whatever. People have a decision to make. We have a decision to make, all of us. Whether we'll receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, as simple as the process has been made, or we'll simply say those Christians are full of sweet wine. God, give us a fresh breath. Give us a wind from somewhere else and blow across this place. Blow across this church, across this family, the families in this church, across this communities of Jersey Shore and Williamsport and Lock Haven and in this region, God. I pray, Father, that it will begin to burn across the United States of America. That Azusa Street Revival that began the Pentecostal movement is now, it is said, the most populous Christian group of people across the world, next to the Catholic Church. Started in 1905, 1906, the Pentecostal movement by an African-American pastor named William Seymour, actually had roots in the Church of God, which the church had roots in years ago. It is said that he was, whether it was humility or whether it was people would look down on him because he was African-American, it is said he preached either with a box on his head or behind a box. It wasn't about him. It was about declaring the mighty deeds of God. Whatever was going on there, God was working. You know, in John chapter 3, verse 8, said the wind. Jesus said this to the disciples. He says, the wind blows where it wants to. It comes and it goes. You hear it, but you can't tell which direction it's come from or which direction it goes. So is everyone who has the Spirit of God in them. And this is how the Spirit of God works. He's not something we can box up, wrap up, and say, this is what it's going to be. But I'll tell you what, just like it was the disciples, they are all of one mind praying for the promise, saying, God, send that mighty rushing wind across this place. Give us the breath from elsewhere, because the church needs it. Is that your prayer today? I'm going to ask the worship team to come. We're going to bring the lights back down to the worship setting, please. And we're just going to pray. Our song today is our prayer. Pastor Sherry said during the prayer section, if you have a specific need, this front is our altar area. I would love it if you would come. If God has spoken to your heart today, I want you to come forward and simply be. We have Pastor Sherry and others here will come and pray with you, elders. And we just want you to connect. If you've heard the mighty deeds of God today, you have a decision to make. What does this mean? Or he's full of sweet wine. Not. This is the word of God, folks. Amen? Amen. So God, right now, please stand to your feet. God, right now, our prayer, I will say it, and then we're going to sing it. God, I pray. Our prayer today is for the American church. It's for this community. It's for these communities and where we live. And this is not just for this church. It's for the churches throughout this area that are faithfully proclaiming the word of God. It's the remnant that you have prepared and you have placed here. And God, I believe there's many of the remnant. And I pray to God that you will fan the flame. You will blow across the hearts of these churches, of these men and women, teenagers, boys and girls, that our sons and daughters begin to prophesy. Young men will begin to see visions. Old men will dream dreams. And everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, they're going to be saved. And a revival is going to be taking place. And people are going to be giving their hearts to Jesus Christ. And they will be snatched from the flames of Satan, who's trying to destroy them, not only in this life, but in the life hereafter. So God, our prayer that you will come like a flaming fire and a rushing wind upon your church. That's our prayer. We pray it, and we're going to sing it in a moment. But God, I pray you'll receive our song as a testimony. This is our unified desire in this house today, that you will come across your church and you will blow like a mighty wind from elsewhere and remove the pollution that's infiltrated the church and come as a fresh breath upon our lives. God, thank you. We bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we begin to sing again, if you, God's speaking to your heart, I'm not going to beat around the bush. Come up here. The Lord will meet you. Your needs will be met. I promise you that. Sing with us. continue on in Acts, I believe it's chapter 4, when Peter says that repent and return, the times of refreshing may come. As we were playing, I had a vision a number of years ago. I like to experiment with gadgets, and I like science. And I bought all these magnets. I thought I could do some cool stuff with them. And I did, actually. They're really neat. But repentance is like the magnets. But sometimes they get misaligned. Our lives get misaligned. And we begin to go the wrong direction. And for the unbeliever, they simply keep going, because there is no anchor inside the veil. But for the believer, it's like the God magnet that comes and begins to draw them back. We begin to get realigned by repentance and saying, God, I've been wayward. I've been pointing the wrong direction. Draw me back. That's the life of the Christian. It's the life of the Christian. Thank God it's by the blood of Jesus I've been made perfect. With my righteousness as his filthy rags, the Word of God says. So I just believe that God is again, allow me to use that metaphor symbolically, he's magnetically calling his believers to turn back and say, yeah, just keep focused on me. As you begin to steer yourself away, I'm there. Turn back. The times of refreshing may come to your family, to your life, to this nation. We are in a fight for the freedoms that we have as Americans. Fight the good fight, gang. Fight the good fight. And it starts on our knees in prayer. Not give up. Amen. Never give up. God, thank you, Father. You are going to come. You have come like a flaming fire and a rushing wind. And God, you want your church to be invigorated and alive. And alive. You want us to be burning, zealous for the things of God. And God, I pray for every person here today and those within the hearing of my voice right now, God, that you will fall upon their lives. And you will begin to stoke those embers that are in them. And begin to fan the flame, and God, they would just be on fire for the things of God. I pray a blessing upon each one in this house today, God. I thank you, Father, most importantly, that your presence is here today. God, we honor you. We worship you. Thank you for making yourself evident to us in so many ways today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said as we close. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated just for a few moments. We're going to close here in just a moment. As always, we have important things for your attention, not the least of which, and maybe the most important, is Wednesday, June 8th, our prayer time right here at 6 p.m. There's a time of teaching, sharing, fellowship, and prayer, worship, 6 o'clock here, Wednesday, June 8th. Next. So this is neat, yeah. So, this is our fireworks, Friends, Food, and Fireworks, Saturday, June 9th, right here in the parking lot. This place gets packed. If you've never been here, when the fireworks are set off by the Jersey Shore Town Meeting up over the hill, this parking lot and field gets packed with people. And it's simply our day, an opportunity for us. They come to us and we simply love on the community. That's all. There's no strings attached. But God can work through people's lives like that. We've seen it happen. You know, there was 5,000 that came for the feeding that day. We don't know what the spiritual manifestation was in the New Testament. Jesus didn't. He wasn't concerned about that necessarily. The focus was you're going to minister to the people. That's part of our role as a church. So we just bless the people with a nice family evening out that costs them nothing. Well, I shouldn't say that because the price of gas they have to get here. But other than that. So please, if you're willing to help. And again, the work that's taking place there, Denny and Mandy are doing a wonderful job. They lead that for us. We just appreciate you guys. Just sign up, and then we'll just connect with you. It starts, normally we start gathering around 5 or 5:30 that night, somewhere in there, yeah. And then it's really just setting up some tables and directing traffic and just getting people plugged in. We feed them, we drink, or give them drinks, and they just have a great family night. So just come and join us. If you're able, please don't forget to sign up at the Welcome Center. It helps us a great deal to know who's going to be available to pitch in and help. And just want to encourage you, this church has been amazing every year, people stepping up. It seems like we're never short-staffed. So thank you all in advance for doing that. Questions, see Denny or Mandy, please. And then Jersey Shore Ministerium, if you're available the week of August 1 through 6, these are work projects throughout the community. This is run through the Jersey Shore Ministerium, which Sherry and I are members. And this is an opportunity for you. If you are a fix-it person, it could be, generally speaking, what they do is they find usually the profile is an elderly couple that has a home. They can't afford to clean their gutters. They can't afford to fix their roof. They have a leaky plumbing, and so there's things like that. But that's not the only things they do. If you could help, sign up. If you have questions, see me. I have a flyer on that. Is that it? Ah, awesome. Okay. Praise God. Please stand. I know you're all amazed. It's before noon. You're being released. God, thank you, Father, that your presence is here. God, I thank you, Father, for the church. And God, I pray that each soul has been encouraged today by the mighty deeds of God. Because that's what changes lives. The fire and the breath are necessary, but we've got to have the word to join in with it. So God, give us the fire, give us the breath, as we declare the mighty deeds of God through your word. God, I pray you'll transform this church, transform our lives, transform this region, transform our cities, transform our nation, dear God. We thank you, Father. You have blessed us with such a great place to live as the United States of America. We pray for transformation and those that would speak against it at the international level and at the national level that tried to destroy it. God, right now, I pray in Jesus' name, you would stop the lying mouths. And God, you would be the ruler of this nation in the spiritual realm and not the prince of darkness. God, thank you, Father. We pray for the Dobbs decision as well, God. We don't know when we're going to receive that. But God, we're asking you for a favor that you will remove the curse from the land as the national law has basically been abortion across the land. Remove that specter over us, dear God, as a nation. The times of refreshing may come again. God, we pray for a favorable decision on the Dobbs case. God, we bless this house as we leave this place today. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.